Welcome to the BLG Podcast, where we discuss industry trends and legal issues that affect Canadian businesses. Borden Ladner Gervais is one of Canada's largest law firms. With more than 700 lawyers, intellectual property agents, and other professionals located in five cities across Canada. In this edition, BLG lawyers Duncan Marsden and Andrew Posbon discuss the top five employment case decisions you would not believe.
Thank you and welcome to the BLG podcast. My name is Duncan Marsden. I'm a partner in BLG's Labour and Employment Group. Joining me today is Andrew Posbon, a senior associate in our Labour and Employment Group. Andrew and I are excited to be here today to discuss the top five employment case decisions you would not believe. And believe us when we say that some of these are truly unbelievable. So Andrew, should we jump right into the first case?
Sure, let's do it.
So Andrew, I understand that our first case that you're going to talk to us about today is Regional Municipality of Waterloo, Sunnyside Home, against the Ontario Nurses Association.
Yeah, so I found this one pretty egregious. So this was a registered nurse who worked at a long-term care facility, and her employer discovered that she had been stealing narcotics for a lengthy period, and she had been falsifying medical records to conceal the theft. Part of the issue was that she was actually withholding dosages of pain medication from her residents, and she was actually injecting them herself. The employee admitted on a number of occasions that she had actually stolen from the long-term care facility, and then she was actually taking from the residents. And so she ended up being dismissed. She ended up filing an application to the Ontario Labour Arbitrator for reinstatement following her dismissal for cause. And part of the issue in this case was the fact that the arbitrator was looking at whether the employee had an addiction. So as you may know, this is a hot topic of conversation, especially with the legalization of cannabis. So in this case, post-termination, it became clear that the employee had developed a serious addiction to narcotics. Prior to her termination, no one was aware of her addiction. She never informed anyone. She never complained to anyone about it. And so she ended up being dismissed, as I mentioned. So after her termination, she completed a substance abuse treatment program, and she was maintaining sobriety at the time of the hearing. So the shocking part of this is that the arbitrator actually ordered the employee to be reinstated with compensation, and the employer had to accommodate her to the point of undue hardship. So this is a shocking case, and it's one that I think is extremely egregious just because of the nature of her actions and the fact that she was repeatedly stealing from the employer, stealing from the residents, and the griever actually made a determination that she was entitled to be reinstated back into the workplace.
So even though she stole drugs from patients and used them herself, the termination of her employment was unjustified and she had to be reinstated.
Correct. So the arbitrator completely ignored all of the long-term care facility's arguments. And the long-term care facility was essentially arguing that her misconduct and her breaches were essentially a breach of the employer's policy, and the fact that they relied on that she had not disclosed her addiction prior to her employment being terminated.
So, Andrew, what are our takeaways from this?
In this one, I have really no idea. The arbitrator, as I mentioned, gave little or no weight to the breakdown in trust. And the arbitrator also rejected a long line of cases where addicted employees have been held responsible. So it's unlikely that this decision will impact non-labor related cases, but it was an interesting one from our perspective when you look at it and look at the actual decision and the fact that the employee's actions were so egregious.
It really is, yeah.
So Duncan, now that you're going to talk about a case from the Ontario Court of Appeal, and this case is called Calistro and Batel.
That's right. Well said, Andrew. Calistro and Batel. I think that's how you pronounce both names. So this was from the Ontario Court of Appeal from this year, and it involved a company who rehired an executive that its predecessor had terminated 11 years earlier, in part because of complaints that he had sexually harassed employees, including the plaintiff in this action. So the employee who had complained of harassment years earlier, when she found out that this individual was essentially going to be re-employed over a decade later, she went off work with stress. The company offered to accommodate by transferring her to an equivalent position, but she declined that offer. And the employee launched a claim for a number of things, including intentional infliction of mental suffering and constructive dismissal. And I think the takeaway from this case is careful what you wish for, because although the employee was successful in her constructive dismissal complaint, she was unsuccessful in her mental suffering claim. And so what that meant was the judge awarded 12 months notice, less salary continuance that had already been paid and less LTD benefits, plus bad faith damages of $100,000. So the employee had a total compensation award of $114,000, just slightly over. But the judge found that the employee was responsible for costs in the amount of $200,000. So although the employee was successful in the main part of her claim, because she had been unsuccessful in the majority of her complaints, which related to relatively smaller issues and potential infliction of mental suffering and other sorts of issues, the costs that she had to pay were nearly double the amount that she was awarded in compensation. So she was out about $80,000 on that decision without taking into account her own legal fees. The Court of Appeal upheld the decision on intentional infliction of mental suffering, constructive dismissal, and bad faith. So that's gone all the way to the Court of Appeal and has been upheld.
So despite being a winner, she was actually a loser in this case. So what are your takeaways from this decision?
Well, I think there are two main takeaways. The first one is that if employers choose to rehire an employee who had harassed another employee, then there's a risk of damages for constructive dismissal, bad faith, and infliction of mental suffering. There's going to be that risk. I think they're quite specific factual case scenario, so it's probably not something that's going to happen every day, but there's certainly that risk. The second one is that there may be grounds to claim costs against an employee who files a claim seeking excessive damages or brings a lot of claims if that employee is ultimately only successful in a part of those claims. So Andrew, our third case is something you're going to talk to us about. It's the case, again from Ontario, of Rustin against Kedco MFG.
Right, so the facts in this one weren't egregious, but the actual decision is very interesting. So in this case, the plaintiff was terminated from his position as president of the corporation, and the employer asserted just cause on the basis of an alleged fraud. So the allegation as fraud wasn't brought up until the former employee threatened to bring legal action. So the employer, in response, threatened the plaintiff that if he brought a wrongful dismissal claim, he would bring a counterclaim and make the proceedings very expensive. So as far as the decision, the trial judge dismissed the allegations of fraud, as well as the employer's just cause defense, and the employer's counterclaim was also dismissed. So the trial judge found that the counterclaim had been a tactic to intimidate the employee, and the trial judge awarded a 19-month notice period to the plaintiff, including bonuses and benefits, along with aggravated and punitive damages. So in summary, the plaintiff was awarded almost $600,000 in damages plus interest. In addition to that, the court awarded almost $600,000 in cost to the plaintiff. So this was eventually appealed to the Court of Appeal, and this was upheld at the Court of Appeal. And part of the reason is that the employer's actions were egregious. The employer had failed to call any witnesses whatsoever substantiating the allegations of fraud. So the court essentially took a very high-handed view of what the employer had done in this situation. So all of these reasons led to the higher justification for damages and costs.
Thanks, Andrew. So what should employers be taking away from this case?
I think this one is an important one. We see a lot of times where employers think they may have reasons to file a counterclaim against an employee if the employee has filed a wrongful dismissal action. And courts have very little tolerance for employers that threaten and bring tactical claims or make trumped up allegations such as allegations of fraud, like in this case. Additionally, courts are increasingly awarding aggravated and punitive damages if employers allege cause for dismissal, so that should be a cautionary tale. And costs awarded for alleging cause can be quite significant. So in summary, employers shouldn't assert cause or shouldn't assert fraud unless there's clear evidence of doing so. So the last one was a really important decision. This one involved a situation where the facts were extremely egregious and led to a decision that was unprecedented. So this one is called AB versus Joe Singer Shoes Limited, Duncan, you want to tell us about this one?
Yeah, this is a human rights case from Ontario, and it involved an employee who had worked for an employer for 28 years, and they're pretty horrific facts in this case, so I'm not going to go into too much detail with respect to them, but they involve allegations of sexual assault and severe sexual harassment. The interesting takeaway from this case is that the Human Rights Tribunal ordered the respondents to pay $200,000 as compensation for injury to dignity, feelings, and self-respect. And that is the highest award for injury to feelings in Canada, I believe. So this case is interesting for that basis alone, that the award for injury to feelings was so high. If you look at the case and if you read the facts, I can't say that it wasn't justified based on the facts, which are actually pretty horrific. But the takeaway for employers in this case is how high the injury to dignity and feelings award was. So, Andrew, our final case today is the case of Klondike against West Kelowna for British Columbia. Do you want to talk to us about that?
Right. So this one is important because it relates to off-duty conduct, which is extremely important right now. So in this case, an assistant fire chief was terminated after receiving a driving prohibition for impaired driving. He was driving home one night with his spouse. He was pulled over for suspected impaired driving. He ended up failing two roadside breathalyzer tests and received an administrative driving suspension. He ended up immediately reporting that to the fire department, and the fire department ended up terminating his employment. He ended up filing a wrongful dismissal claim, and in the decision, the court held that the fire department did not have cause for dismissal. The court looked at the fact that he was off duty and he wasn't representing the fire department at the time. He was also not the public face of the fire department. There was no criminal charge. And the key thing that the court found was that his off-duty conduct was not incompatible with the faithful discharge of his duties or otherwise prejudicial to the interests or reputation of the fire department. So really what the court did was looked at whether his actions impacted the employer. And the court found that in this case, it did not. So the court awarded him wrongful dismissal damages of approximately $40,000.
Yeah, and I guess off-duty conduct is becoming more and more important to employers in the age of social media, where people are off work and they may tweet something or they may put something on Facebook, which might be offensive and might impact the reputation of the employer.
Right. So what the court really does, in this case at least, is look at whether the off-duty conduct impacts the interests or reputation of the employer. If it doesn't, there may not be grounds for cause.
Well, great. Thanks, Andrew. That was really helpful. Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed our summary of five cases that we picked that we thought you might find interesting and useful.
Thank you.